First and Second Thessalonians are written on an eschatological theme. The last times. Coming prophetic theme. First and Second Corinthians, Romans, the doctrine of salvation, and Galatians. Then you have Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, doctrine of Christ. Doctrine of Christ. Then you have 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, doctrine of the church. The epistles are lumped into doctrinal segments. And every chapter in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians talks about the coming of Christ. In 1st Thessalonians, every chapter talks about the first phase of the second coming of Christ. They all talk about the rapture. And so very early in the life of the churches, they had the letter to the Thessalonians, which emphasized the coming of the Lord. And tonight we want to take a brief look at each of those five chapters in 1 Thessalonians. I want to ask the question, what will the coming of Christ be for you? What will the coming of Christ be for you? It's a different thing to different people, and you'll see that tonight. Here in 1 Thessalonians, we find that phrase, verse 10. He says in verse 9 and 10, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." That's a statement of their conversion and their salvation. And then it says in verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." To wait for his Son. So the Lord's coming for many people is an anxious waiting. An anxious waiting. Now, think about what's happening in Thessalonica. Verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto us, you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in matter and much assurance. As we know what manner of men we were among you for your sake," verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Persecution. You know, people who are under persecution are anxiously waiting for the coming of the Lord. This is a terrible illustration, but, you know, I was thinking about, there's different kinds of waiting. You know, you're just kind of waiting. And then there's anxious expectation waiting, you know? And, you know, most of our bedrooms were all upstairs. And everybody seems to be getting out of the house about the same time. And you get up, and you knock on the bathroom door. "When are you going to be out? You know, when are you going to get out? You know, when are you going to be out? You know, it's like, I want in there right now, you know, and you're waiting. You don't want to wait very long." That's what they were doing. They didn't want to wait long. They didn't want to wait long. They were anxious for him to come. Anxious for him to come. Are you anxious for the Lord to come? You know, for these who were in this expecting, waiting, the waiting, the coming of Christ was a relief. It was a deliverance from their persecutors, from the afflictions, from the torments, the trials. Read about any people in persecution. They're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. They're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. They're waiting for Him. They are anxious for Him to come. And when He comes, oh, wonderful, 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 praise the Lord. Deliverance, relief. The Lord has come. Are you anxious for the coming of the Lord? Are you anxious for the coming of the Lord? And so for some, the coming of the Lord is a wonderful day of relief and deliverance. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, it says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now in chapter 2, you're already surprised we're in the second point, aren't you? Chapter 2, verse 18. I guess we could read verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. What's he saying? For some, the coming of the Lord will be a day of great joy. And how does he describe that joy? He's describing a joy of which there is no greater joy. And that is the joy of seeing those souls that you have led to Christ, who live for Christ, at His coming. Meeting them once again. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The coming of the Lord Jesus is a time of joy for those who have lived their life for winning souls. And the Apostle Paul looked forward to that day, the joy of meeting, reuniting, a joy that's deeper than earthly family. It's a joy that's deeper than blood. It's a joy that's unexplainable. The joy of souls that have come to Christ through your life. A life that has been lived for the right thing. And of course, there's many applications of that. But for some, the coming of the Lord will be a joyful, joyful day. As they meet the Lord, but they also meet all those that have come to Christ through them. It's a special joy, a special day of joy. (Clears throat) You know what? Won't be any joy in Green Bay Packers. Won't be any joy in that. Won't be any joy in all the things that we put in front of the Lord, all the possessions that we got because we put them in front of the Lord. There won't be any joy in that. No joy. But it will truly be a day of joy for those who've sown in tears and reaped in joy and are reunited in the Savior's presence with those precious souls. Chapter 3, we have the coming of the Lord again. Verse 12. It says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." That he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to Pastor Jim today, and he mentioned to his people, I don't know what they're talking about, but he said to his people, "Now, what's harder? Getting saved or growing in Christ?" They all said, "Growing. Growing. A lot harder than getting saved. A lot harder than getting saved." And the whole purpose of it all is that when we stand before the Lord, having successfully lived the Christian life, the goal, the plan, the whole plan is that we stand before God blameless in holiness. That's the whole plan. That we stand before God blameless in holiness. That's how we want to meet the Lord. We want to meet the Lord blameless in holiness. Now the Bible says, "He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, that when he may appear, we may be confident and not be ashamed at his coming." Now, you know, let's think about this for a minute. You know what's in the air? False teaching is in the air. And when I mean in the air, I mean the spiritual air. And I mean in so-called Christianity. Brother Bucher talked about it. You know what's in the air? The opposite. It's the opposite. Try to live as close to the world as you can. Spend as little time as you can in church. Have as short a sermons as you can. Let's get out of here. You know? Let's go to the movies. Let's play the rock music. Preachers. I think they missed the main point. How can it be? Missed the main point. You're not talking about accidents here and there. It's in the air, folks. They're the last days. The coming of the Lord. It's the coming of the Lord is meant to be the fulfillment of the whole Christian life. The whole Christian life is to grow blameless in holiness. Bible calls it a day of confidence. Here I think we have a picture of fulfillment of God's plan for our life. The Bible says, "And having holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." How do we want to see the Lord? That's a big question. We want to see the Lord having had victory and on the path of victory, change in our life, growing in Christ. Victory over the world, victory over the flesh, victory over self, victory over sin, victory over temptation. That's why Christ died. He died. They might take away our sins. So the coming of the Lord, for many, will be a day in which the goal has been reached. Blameless before the Lord. Having grown in holiness. A day of fulfillment. A day in which the goal of life has been reached. Now we know 1 Corinthians 4 is the great chapter on the rapture. And it presents the rapture, the coming of Christ, and how the dead in Christ will be raised. Praise God. I wonder what it's going to look like there over at Baptist Memorial Cemetery. You know, I don't know how he's going to do it. Whoosh. You know, I think that's kind of like how the Lord would do it. You know what I mean? Whoosh. You know, big mound, you know. A dirt flown away, you know, raised from the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You guys got a plot over there? Yeah. But, man, that's going to be a great day, isn't it? Whoosh. You know? But the Bible says, here's the context. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The coming of the Lord, a wonderful day of comfort and reunion with our loved ones in Christ that have gone before us. Whoa, a wonderful day of comfort. Looking forward to meeting in the air on the day. That'll be great. Wow. That's kind of neat, isn't it? The Lord comes, whoosh. You know, whoa, hey, look at this. And, you know, there's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so, and there's so-and-so. Wow, what a day of comfort. Coming to the Lord. It's a day of comfort. Boy, you know, it's really sad when you go to a funeral of unsaved people. Oh, it is so dark. You know, for most of them, their funeral is just as short as possible. Nowadays, they're having funerals and not even having preachers at them. They just want to get it over with. There's no hope. They don't have any hope in life. They're so sad. Sad, sad, sad. You know, this is a different point, but you ever go to a funeral where the preacher said the guy was in hell? The fact is, many of them are. Now, we don't know that, but you know, there's been plenty of people I've witnessed to, and they says, nope, I'm not saved. I'm right on my way to hell. And then they die, and you go to the funeral, and the preacher says, oh, they're in heaven. Their own testimony was they didn't know Christ. But you know, for the believers, day of comfort. Chapter 5, it says, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. The times and the seasons. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For some, the Lord's coming will be as a thief in the night. Now, chapter 1, hurry up, Lord. Hurry up, Lord. I'm waiting, Lord. Hurry up, Lord. And here, the exact opposite. A thief. Unexpected. In fact, you know what? Not only is a thief unexpected, but for most people, you don't want them to come. Right? You don't want them to come. You know, I told folks, you know, in South Africa, they have metal bars on hinges in front of every door. They have metal bars on every window. You want to get in the house, you have to open the lock on the barred door, heavy bars. And then you got to unlock the main door. And you get in the house. But then you got another door. You have a door between that leads to the bedroom area. And you have a metal grate door with a lock on it. So if the thief gets into the house, they have to go through another door, metal door, steel door, with lock on it to get to that part of the house. Plus, Nathan has an alarm system with 12 strands of barbed wire around his house. They don't like thieves. But they're everywhere. That's Africa. That's especially Johannesburg and South Africa. The thieves. Thief cometh, the Bible says, in the night. in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, as the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. A thief in the night. The coming of the Lord is a thief in the night for those who aren't ready. For those who aren't ready. You know, this lady was making cookies for the ladies' meeting at church. Or it was at school, I guess. And she's making these cookies, and her son came home from school, and he smelled the cookies, and she says to him, "Now, son, these cookies are for the ladies' meeting. And I'm putting them in a jar, and I'm putting them above the cupboard up here. Don't touch them." And she says, "I got to go to the store. Couple things I got to get for the meeting tonight. Now remember, don't touch them." And so she goes to the garage, starts up the car, pulls out. Oh, man, this kid, he just can't handle it, you know. You know, the cookies. The cookies, you know, he smelled so good. And so he's thinking about it and just, you know, you ever yield to temptation? So he gets out a stool. He gets out a stool and he reaches up there, gets that jar of cookies, and he puts them down on the counter, takes off the lid, and's reaching in there, and the door opens. His mom. Mom forgot something, her wallet or something, had to come back home unexpectedly. Was he glad to see Mama? Huh? Was he glad to see Mama? No. He was not glad to see Mama. His cook hand was in the cookie jar. And later on, something was going to be felt on the seat of learning. Because he had... Mom came back at the wrong time. Yeah, the Lord's coming back. We don't know when. And for some, it will be like a thief in the night. For some, it will be like a thief in the night. Lord, don't come tonight. Lord, I don't want you to come tonight. I hope you don't come tonight. Lord, the way I'm living, I don't want you to come. Please don't come. But he's going to come. And he's not going to announce it, is he? But he's going to come. And it won't be a good day. It won't be a good day. You know, the Lord's coming has a lot of messages, doesn't it? The Bible says, remember them that are in bonds. You know, there's a lot of people right now all across the world, sad to say, some of them have a gun pointed at their head because of their faith in Christ. And I think, man, we need to be reproved by that. We need to be praying for the persecuted believers. There's many in jail, beaten up. Aisha has no idea what would happen to her if she got saved. No idea. Those people are totally blind. There's many people just waiting for the Lord to come back. Waiting. And oh, won't that be great when they see Him? When the Lord comes back, we stand before Him. The joy. The only thing you can take with you in this life are souls. Right? The only thing you can take with you in this life are souls. Oh, that's the day of joy. Ye are my joy and crown of rejoicing at the coming of our Lord Jesus. It kind of puts life in perspective, doesn't it? And I realize there's many aspects of that. How we give, how we pray, how we witness, how we water, just like Tari said. Well, it means, you know, it means everything. These kids come and they feel loved. It means everything. They see people excited about the Lord. Won't be very, you know, some have lost their care about souls. Some have lost their care about souls. We want some unsaved people to be sitting behind some people in the services. They laugh and joke around, goof around. It's like a game. I want to get out of here as fast as possible. Huh. That's sad. But for those who are living for souls, that day will be a day of joy. I remember you. Yeah, you gave me that track. You know what? I sat next to you in church. And I saw you singing those hymns. And I says, you know, that's really real. I wish I had what they have. Oh, that's all going to come out, isn't it? Day of joy. A day of fulfillment. Blameless. My life got changed. I'm not the same as I was when I got saved. I don't have the same hang-ups. I don't have the same sins. I don't have the same sins in my life as I got saved. I got rid of those. Got my life changed. Blameless at His coming. A day of fulfillment. Day of comfort. Those ones that we miss. Those that were taken early in life. We loved them. We missed him. Ah, we'll see him again. Never to depart again. A day of comfort. But then, a day of a thief in the night for those who are not ready. The coming to the Lord has many different messages to different people. What is the coming? What if the Lord came tonight? What would it be to you? What would it be to you? That's the question. Amen? What would it be to you? Because we need to be looking for His coming. And maybe on one of these points here, the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe one of these points, God's encouraging you. The Lord has a message for every one of us. Now, if you're not saved,
If you're not saved, you don't even want to think about, you really do, the coming of the Lord.
Because if the Lord comes, and you've had a chance to get saved, and you reject it, 2 Thessalonians says you'll be given strong delusion and you will welcome and worship the Antichrist. Yeah. Because you had the truth and you rejected it. Oh, that's really bad. Had the truth but rejected it. So I hope tonight that if you're not saved, that you'll get saved so the night of the coming of the Lord won't be a night of terror. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the simple, wonderful truths of the coming of our Savior. And Lord, these are truths that we need to have right in the top of our mind. They'll make a difference, Lord, if we put them there, if we keep them there. If we calculate our life in light of them, Lord, your Spirit has to do the work. We pray that you'll use the truth of your word in every one of our lives. That it will grip us. Lord, it obviously gripped in the New Testament Christians. It obviously gripped them. That their whole life was shaped in light of the coming of the Savior. And Lord, forgive us because we are living in a world of doubters and skeptics. And we allow them to fill our minds with skepticism and we can easily say, oh, he's not coming. But he is. And there's a great focus of our lives, the coming of Jesus. It's meant to be a great shaper of how we think and how we live. Lord, I realize how hard it is to get that truth in our soul that our Savior's coming. Just seems the days are dark and unbelief is everywhere. I feel it in my own heart, Lord. Lord, may the truth of the coming of the Savior, may it break through the hardness of our hearts and our minds, the dullness of our souls. Might it get a hold of us, Lord. Lord, only you can do it. We're at your mercy. And we rejoice in anyone tonight that, Lord, that truth has gotten a hold of their soul so that it's a real truth, it's a living truth. And Lord, only you can do that. May it be so, Lord. Tonight, the Lord has made the coming of the Savior anew and afresh to you. Gripped your heart a little bit. Stirred your soul. Somehow you see it in a clearer light. And you can just sense that this is making a difference, going to make a difference in your life. The coming of the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you say, Pastor, you know, that's true. God, that truth is somehow God did something in my heart tonight. Understand that truth. And right now, there's a decision I need to make about that. Whether it is I'm going to give my life to live for souls, whether it is I'm going to get on the victory side so I can be blameless. Whether it is just a comfort, and to accept that comfort. Whatever it is. And you say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord used this truth in my life tonight.
And I know there's a definite, real response that I need to make. And God is dealing with you about that even right now. Say, Pastor, pray for me. That's true in my life. God has spoken my heart. Okay? I see a number of hands. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Pray with me, Pastor. God has quickened my soul with this truth tonight. I know.